Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We are down with the King topic of the day, BT and Sal, and of course, Mike Vrabel being in the building. Who knows? Maybe he's still there, BT. Your top choice to be the head coach of the NYJ. For me, I was giving it some thought, and again, we touched on this stuff a couple hours ago. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. For me, I would go with Pete Carroll next year. He is the most sure bet. The only question mark that I would have would be his age. And at this particular point, for the next few years, you know, 2-3 years, Pete Carroll, I feel like, can turn things around for the Jets. That's what, to me, they need most, is an established program changer, energy changer. That is Pete Carroll. I'm not opposed to Vrabel, but Pete Carroll will be my number one choice.
Yeah, that, we had an interesting conversation about Pete earlier, but I'm all in for Vrabel. I don't think Pete's a bad choice at all, but I think Vrabel's the guy. I think that the Jets view him as the guy. I think that there's symbolism, hopefully, maybe I'm reading too much into this, that this is the first interview from Vrabel's perspective that he's got at least a little interest in the Jets here. Maybe not. I also think there's a bit of a leverage play to maybe offer some incentive for Kraft to, you know, get off his butt and fire Mayo, because I do think that Vrabel would have interest in the Patriots job here. But I know it's easy to say this, and everybody's saying this. Oh, don't let him leave the building. Yeah. He's leaving the building. Breaking news. He's going to walk out of the building without being the head coach of the Jets. I can promise everybody that. But what needs to be communicated during the meeting before he leaves the building is, hey, go and do your due diligence. We understand you're in high demand. You are our first choice. The money and the power will be without peer. What you want, you get. Come coach us.
Yeah, and look, I wouldn't be angry if they hired Vrabel. I think it would be one of the good hires that they can make. I feel like the Jets are in a good spot here with the way that the interviews have gone. I wouldn't touch Ron Rivera. Really, Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan are the only two guys with experience so far that I've heard their names that I wouldn't want. Those, yeah, to me would be...
If you had to pick one, who would you pick?
Of the two?
Yep. That's a tough one.
Well, I mean, am I looking at it from just a sheer better head coach or more entertaining?
Either way you want.
Yeah, well, I would then pick Rex because I think it's a much better storyline. I don't think anybody wants to see Ron Rivera. I never liked him anyway. I don't think he was good with Carolina at his best days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I respect him as a football guy. Sure. I just wouldn't want him to be the head coach. I would rather them hire Rex because I think it would be a great storyline. But neither of those two guys, when you have the possibility of Vrabel, or we talk about the name of Brian Flores or Cliff Kingsbury or even Pete Carroll that I'm bringing up, or Gruden. Like, those are all guys I'd much rather. Mike McCarthy, if he became available. Me personally, I would still choose Pete Carroll and Rodgers. I want Rodgers back with Pete Carroll next year. Triple down and see what those guys could do. A real head coach, Rodgers coming back, maybe healthier next year. And even just less about Rodgers, but just trying to win next year while still building the foundation moving forward. You know, Vrabel certainly on that list. I'm intrigued by Flores. I just have too many question marks with some of the other guys, which is why I would want Carroll.
Well, I mean, listen, Sal, at the end of the day, we can sit here till we're blue in the face and tell everybody what we think and what we want and what we don't want and what's right and what's wrong. If Woody Johnson doesn't offer a concession of power contractually,
right,
like truly legally put that in the contract, it's not going to matter because we're going to be right back to where we were.
Yeah, we talked about both,
where we are, pardon me.
The Jets obviously looking to make a hire here with the general manager, head coach, and the Giants looking to make a decision with their general manager and head coach, BT. And for me, it's just got to be definitive. It's year three, the end of year three. They need to make their decision whether they believe in Shannon Daboll, at least in my opinion, long term now. Whether they want them back and believe that this could be the tandem moving forward, or they have doubts and then start fresh. For me, based on what I've seen in 3 years, I would have my doubts, which would lead me to hire a new combination, start fresh with hopefully a top pick, or at least trading up to get a quarterback. That's what I would look to do. But either way, the Giants need to be decisive here. I don't think this is a spot where they could halfway it, meaning keep one, fire the other, or bring them back without extending them beyond next year.
I get you. I think Mara's made his decision. It's not the decision that I would make, but I think that he's made his decision. I think both men are back.
Yeah, my gut tells me that too. I would at this point be shocked. I'd certainly be shocked if Shane were let go on Black Monday, let's say. And I really both. After the win last week,
yeah.
I feel pretty good.
And
that
it should never come down to that.
It shouldn't be one
meaningless win.
Yeah, same thing.
It's actually not meaningless. It's the opposite of meaningless, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right, where it did mean something, potentially saving Brian Daboll. I would go the other way. But yes, I'm with you. At this point, I would be shocked if they made changes with Shane and Brian Daboll. Let's get back to the phones, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris? Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, how's everything, guys?
Good, Chris.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
We got you, buddy. What's happening? How are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, all right. Oh, yeah. So I would like to say what Sal was saying, I kind of agree with him about Pete Carroll. And the only reason I'm going to say about Pete Carroll, because he just finished coaching my beloved Seahawks. And the one thing I do agree with Sal, if you do bring him in, I do believe the first couple of years you just may get a chip out of him. But the only thing, because BT's a diehard Jet fan, the only thing with him that I will caution is that, one, he's going to want autonomy like he did in Seattle,
mm-hmm,
where he was the VP of football operations.
Well, you give it to him.
Also, too, what you guys were saying, it actually did. Well, hold on. Also, too, what it did work in Seattle, that Seattle hired him first, then they hired the GM, John Schneider. Okay? Now, we had a great defense, Legion of Boom and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He brought us the Super Bowl. But the one thing about him, too, that I will caution as well, he is stubbornly loyal.
Yeah, well, those are
ways with his defense. He refuses to give up the cover two.
I think those are good things, though, Chris. And thank you for the call. To me, BT, those would be good things where, you know,
not if it doesn't match the Jets personnel. You've got to be adaptable.
Well, loyal. Well, he's saying loyal
to the cover two, like loyal to his defensive philosophy.
I would want Pete Carroll. If I'm hiring Pete Carroll, I'm hiring because I want him to do what he thinks is best for the football team.
Yeah, literally true. But think about the different versions we got of Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells adapted to the talent. When he was with the Giants, it was run, ball control,
saying, right,
defense. With the Patriots, he let Bledsoe throw it 50 times a week. And with the Jets, it was a little bit of everything. Running with Curtis and throwing with Vinny.
Yeah.
Adaptability.
Well, the best
and
head coaches,
Dallas, you know, whatever, and mixed bag.
Yeah, the best head coaches are going to find a way to make it work with what they have.
Pat Riley.
And I think Pete Carroll would do that. And also, you're not talking about long term here, so I wouldn't worry about, years beyond the next two. I'm worried about building the infrastructure now for, let's say, 3 years with Pete Carroll, what he thinks is best to turn this thing around. 73 years old, so I wouldn't imagine he's got, you know, 5 to 10 years left in him.
I want Vrabel. But listen, I do think that if it's somebody of this ilk, of this Hall of Fame caliber, you're going to have to give him juice. I mean, so last caller, Chris up in the Bronx, saying that he's going to have some say. Yeah, that's the expectation. That's why everything that I say about the Jets is dependent upon a massive change from Woody Johnson.
Right. Well, anybody that you want to hire, you're going to want to have full
not
autonomy
Aaron Glenn.
Or whatever.
No, not Aaron Glenn. I'm not giving Aaron Glenn whole juice over the bill. building. No, that's
then
not true.
Who's gonna be making the decisions?
I don't know. I mean, but it's not gonna be Aaron Glenn as a first year head coach, because that's a problem, because now he's got too many things to worry about.
Well, but wouldn't you want the general manager then to make those?
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't want Aaron Glenn and Riddick. Like I don't want Vrabel and Lewis Riddick. I want in a perfect world, accomplished and proven both. But
let them do it.
Yes, but if I have a less proven coach, like a Ben Johnson head coach or an Aaron Glenn, then I need the guy down the hall in the GM office, like a Dimitroff or a Ted Robinson.
Right, and you give him, either way, Woody has to let the football people make the football decision.
Yep.
Either way, and especially when you have a guy that's experienced like Pete Carroll. Duke is calling from Westport. What's up, Duke?
Fellas, thanks for having me on. I used to be a weekly call with Joe and Evan, but you get married, you have a kid, things get late, you know. But first, I'm calling you guys, and everything I've been hearing today, we are absolutely sharing a brain on with the Jets. Just two quick points. The Vrabel being established and the GM being established, that is a non-negotiable, because the Jets consistently hire a rookie GM, pair them with a rookie head coach, and then have a rookie quarterback. You have three guys all learning on the job at the same time. It is not conducive to success. Now, it does work in certain instances, but let's be real here, guys. This is the Jets. Things aren't going to get all shiny by trying new things, right? So I want to see some tried and true. My head says Vrabel. My heart says Rex, but I want someone established. And last thing, just funny little story about Rex. My wife didn't know me at the time when Rex Ryan was head coach. Mm-hmm. All my friends have, and I basically ruined Rex for all of them because how badly I wanted him to come back for the last 10 years. But my wife gave in and said, I want to know more about this guy. Let's watch 2010 Hart. My friend said, if you ever leave that girl, you found someone willing to watch a 14-year-old Hard Knocks with you or a defunct head coach, you're out of your mind.
Huh. Yeah,
but thanks for having me on, boys.
Thank you, Duke. And we appreciate you taking the time to call. Duke. That was a great season, though. No problem going back, reliving that. Rex was very good in that. He's got the strong personality. I know why fans love Rex. Like, it's not difficult to figure out. You just got to get beyond that initial love of his personality and his attitude and then think, okay, well, that's great that he says all the right things. Is he an actual good head coach?
Well, it's like a stormy affair that you have. Yeah. It's like, that's amazing. You know, a couple of weeks, a couple of nights, and then, all right, it's over. Okay. Maybe not the best example, but you know what I mean.
I guess.
You know?
Tell me more.
That database has evaporated. I don't even remember. I would.
But you see the appeal. It's obvious.
Of course.
And I might even be in the minority, as a matter of fact, in not wanting Rex back.
This is one of the few times where I'm actually stifling my emotion and my sentiment.
Right, which is smart.
Yeah, I think it is.
But there's
a reason. Like, the pragmatic part of my brain went over. I don't think he's a good coach.
Right, and there's a reason why you don't think he's a good head coach.
It's called evidence. I watched him for 6 years after the last two, where it just wasn't good.
And that's with a guy that you want to believe in and want to love, because he said all the right things and did have some success.
And I do love him.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to love him again.
Yeah, he's just not a good head coach. End of story. You want a good head coach, which would be better for the organization. Dave is in Middlebury, Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys, and happy New Year to you.
You too, Dave.
Thank you so much. I appreciate so much your dishing on the theme of the consumer being taken advantage of and being taken for granted of. I was a PSL owner, or actually a season ticket owner, so they double-dipped on us and made us pay for the PSLs for years, since the mid-70s. And, I'm just going to say, as a fan, the product, and the results for the Giants, I don't know how anybody can sit back and say, I'm a little disenfranchised. I'm glad I sold my season tickets last year. And this is somebody who bleeds Giant Blue.
Yep.
The decision-making from the top to the bottom, listen, the Eagles are going to sit their starters this week. We could have said the same thing. You could have explained it away to, Mabers and these other guys. Hey, fellas, we're going to, looking forward, you're not feeling well. We're going to take a look at some of these other guys, evaluate some talent. And if you look at the season in total, this is what the New York Giants fan was hopeful for, that all these blunderous decisions were at least going to have a payoff towards this number one pick. Now, if the Eagles sit, we might end up with number nine. And if you look at the body of work, forget about it. Just like, you know, I feel like Seinfeld, like they expect results when he says it to George. You know, Williams goes away. He has a bona fide year with Seattle. McKinney, he was a captain with Saquon, not just in on the field, but in the locker room. The whole blunder with DJ from Hard Knocks and watching all the ridiculousness with that, everything was pointing towards getting the first quarterback. But here's another one. Martindale, he goes on to Michigan. He upsets Ohio State. He wins in a bowl game. I think, and this is from somebody who really knows the history of the Giants, the problem goes all the way back to when the senior mayor was having this problem with his son-in-law, and they couldn't figure it out. Roselle kind of stepped in. They kind of stewarded the Giants along, and they got George Young. And then things turned around. The Giants are right back to that era again. And your thoughts on that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, Dave, and thank you for the call. We don't need to go back that far. But we do know that it has been a mess for the Giants, and I think the number one thing that, to me, Dave pointed out there, BT, was that, and we touched on this yesterday, almost everything that could have gone wrong for the Giants this year did. And I'm not just talking about inside the building or on the field for the Giants. I'm talking about elsewhere. All the decisions that they made were all proven to be, well, I shouldn't say that they're all proven to be wrong, because I do agree with the Barkley decision, but everyone backfired in their face this year. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone. Wink, to his point, Barkley, McKinney, you name it, it all came up wrong for the Giants. Not to mention that the one payoff was going to be, hey, we've lived through this hellish year, but at least we're going to have the number one pick. And then they go out there and beat the Colts.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
they might win again this weekend, which will screw the, up even more. They might, who knows what's going to happen, but they already gave up that number one pick.
Now, first of all, if I'm Saquon, I know he's not playing. I'm going out and I'm breaking that record. That's me. I'm breaking the record.
Yeah, but it sounds like he wanted to and they didn't let him.
Yeah, Sirianni made the decision. He respected it. And yeah, Saquon took the high road. He definitely was more interested in playing than not. How could you blame him? I just had to slip that in. But the
what about the idea, though, that he would be doing it in an extra game?
Well, I mean, Eric Dickerson did it in an extra game.
Well, Dickerson did it in 15 games in a 16-game season, and O.J. did it.
Well, O.J., what, Saquon's what, 8 right now? Is he 8?
Saquon is, what do you mean, 8 all-time?
He's 8th, right? So 8th.
He can break
single
the,
season. Like, he's got yeah, the 8th.
I don't know.
Single,
I didn't look at that. He's 100.
I'm trying to think of all the guys in front of
he's
him.
He's 101 yards away.
I know he's 101. Yeah. That's a game. So, I'm not sure what you're throwing at. Like, the extra game.
Yeah, like, to me.
I don't.
It's not the real rushing record.
It would be, though.
It should be per game.
I know what you mean, but it's not. Yeah. So I don't really disagree with you. See, what the caller brought up, though, and there was a lot there in the phone call, is like the 70s and like when the NFL interceded and whatever. Like, this is the 70s, dude. In 1970, the Giants, like, everybody associates the 70s with just sheer hell for the Giants, and it was. They started out the decade, they were 9-5. All right, then they were 4-10, and they were 8-6. You know, so the early 70s weren't atrocious. You take 8-6 now, even though it's 17-game season. And then, you know, a couple of 2-win seasons. And then the late 70s start upticking to the 6 wins. Like, you can, and I remember making this point a year ago, like, the 70s compared to now, outside of 2022, are actually better than this decade.
Right. I mean, I guess you can look at that. You can make that
case.
I've
done it. Yeah. I've looked at the seasons. It's incredible. Like, you know, you talk about the Mets, like, oh, the 62 Mets. Oh, the Yankees with, who was that? Horace Clark. You know, your friend says to the old guy, like, reference that, right? Or then the Isaiah Knicks or the 70s Giants. These are the 70s Giants, except one year.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I don't remember. When I grew up, the Giants were good when I first started watching football.
No, I don't remember
football.
Either, but I mean, just based on knowing what we know.
Yeah. For me, the majority of my life watching Giants football, they were a premier organization. I mean, you're talking about Parcells and winning the 2 Super Bowls. And even after that, you know, transitioning to Coughlin and Eli. And obviously, the last decade has been awful. But, you know, that's some big winning in a, you know, short period of time. Sure, maybe not even a short period of time. But you're talking about 30 years of having, what, 4 Super Bowl wins. I mean, teams don't win a Super Bowl in their history. But the Giants have fallen off, clearly. So this is bad. I mean, you got people saying that this is the worst year ever in their 100-year history for the Giants. Look, it's gotten messy here. You hope it could get repaired. But I think even with all that was gone wrong this year, BT, it would have been okay if they had the number one pick, but even that, they managed to screw up by getting a win last week.
I guess this doesn't surprise me, just kind of knowing, you know, the record and the path that they've been on. The Giants have not had, they haven't had a positive point differential since McAdoo.
Even the year where they went to the playoffs, huh, was not a positive.
No, it wasn't. It was negative six. Remember, they were 1-4-1 in the division.
That's, I mean, even that year, they weren't very good.
-135, -145, -141, -6, -158 with Judge his last year, -77, -110, -43, -142 McAdoo, Spags, and then +26. And then the 3 years before negatives.
Wasn't even that good at +26.
But they did win 11 games.
They were a defensive team that year. It was supposed to be McAdoo for sending the offense, but they were a defensive team. And this year it's -135. Yeah, they are.
Yes,
they're brutal. All right, we come back. We'll talk to Nick Kostos, get his thoughts on the final regular season week in the NFL. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Right now on the line is Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL Network. And you can watch now 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Fast Channel or Peacock. Nick, here we are, final week of the season, and we're still talking about the Jets potentially hiring a new head coach and what the Giants should do with Shane and Dable. Hi.
What's going on? Last week, just to start by saying, I thought the Giants had no chance of winning. I underestimated how pathetic the Colts are. Very bad result for yours truly, and also for our New York football Giants. Not great. Not great.
Where are you at with the Giants? I mean, you think they're going to bring back Shane and Dable now, right? Have you conceded that they're going to do that?
No. I think things could get, you know, they could get embarrassed again on Sunday against the Eagles backups. I guess if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say I think both guys will come back because I think John Mara doesn't want to do what he's done, even though it would be right to do that. I think that they will get another year. I think that that decision could and will prove to be catastrophic if they make it. I think both guys will be out the door next year, and the win by the team last week, I think, is going to put them out of position to take one of the top two quarterbacks in the draft without trading up. And to all, and the Giants, it's like the goalposts keep getting moved by Giants fans. Now it's, well, we don't have to take a quarterback this year now because, you know, there's only two and you don't want to trade up. So now let's keep building the lines. Like, you people are all insane. You need, like, it's the most important position in sports. You keep taking swings until you get it right. This was like last year when I said, hey, Giants need to take a quarterback at six. And it's, oh, well, they suck. You know, Michael Penix sucks. J.J. McCarthy sucks. Bo Nix sucks. Really? How's that going? How's it going, everybody? So, yeah, like, great. Take an offensive lineman next year. Take another right tackle. See how it goes with no quarterback. Then, you know what's going to guarantee? That Dable and Shane get another year. Because now, oh, well, they still haven't picked their own quarterback. Don't you see the cycle of insanity this is? It needs to be stopped, and it needs to be stopped on Monday.
Hey, let me ask you this, Nick. So, if the this pertains to both the Jets and the Giants. You own a team. You're running the team. Both teams are in the tank. Who's the coach you want? Who's the GM that you want to work with them?
Well, GM, I don't really feel like I'm, like, exceptionally qualified to answer that question. Like which GM do I just, I mean, Joe Shane could have been awesome when they hired him. I mean, he's not, but I mean, he could have been. Coach, I feel like I would be way more qualified to answer that question. So Jets, for instance, right? I think Vrabel would be an awesome hire for the Jets. I think the question that you'd have to answer as it concerns Mike Vrabel is, who's his offensive coordinator? Because, you know, in Tennessee, his offensive, he had Matt LaFleur for a little bit, and obviously, you know, LaFleur is now the coach of the Packers, and then it's Arthur Smith. And the offense was good when Arthur Smith was there, because you had Derrick Henry, you know, as a battering ram. But, what's it going to look like? You know, who's his OC going to be? Is the offense going to be a 21st century offense with Mike Vrabel? I think that matters a lot. So I like Vrabel as a head coach. I like him as an in-game decision maker. But, you know, I think it matters as to who the offensive coordinator is going to be. I think the guys like Ben Johnson, obviously, who's the Lions offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, who's Tampa's offensive coordinator, who's been amazing this season. You know, if you're one of these guys, do you want to come work for Woody Johnson? Like, I don't know if the answer to that question is yes.
The answer is no, I think, okay? But I also think this is one of the few times where the Jets need to be incredibly selective because they can't roll the dice on an unestablished head coach.
Why not?
Because every time they do, they fail.
Well, I mean, I don't know that, like, that that's a reason, just because you failed at something in the past, to not keep doing
it. Well, no, I agree. I agree. But I do think that this is, they need proven leadership at the highest level.
I think there's a case to be made for that, sure. And I think, like, honestly, like, Mike Vrabel's the number one option then. I mean, you could bring back a former Jet cornerback in Aaron Glenn, who I think has kind of established himself pretty well as a leader of men. I'll tell you what, the guy, one of the guys that I really like, and I wouldn't mind if the Giants hired him, is Brian Flores. And I know he kind of, like, crashed out of Miami a little bit and got into it with Tua, and Tua, you know, went on Dan Lebatard's show. I don't know, somewhat recently, right? Maybe it was in the offseason, and basically said, like, how would you feel every day if you came into work and the head coach said to you, you're not good enough, you don't belong here? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hear things like that. See, like, I respond well to stuff like that. I almost like to be coached like that as a talent. You know, in my life, I don't mind stuff like that.
Yep.
To me, that means that Flores is a hard ass, and I think Jets could use that. Flores was a really good head coach in Miami, schemes up defense. Now, again, he's kind of like Vrabel, where he's a defensive guy, you know, who's his offensive coordinator. What's that going to look like? I would not mind Brian Flores, honestly, as either the Giants coach or the Jets coach if the Giants move on from Dable or if the Jets were to go in that direction.
All right, Nick, what about this slate here? We talked about it last week where, you know, I was asking about motivation and how that comes into, you know, your betting for the week. Where are you at on Sunday? Let's start with those games. You got the Ravens, who are, what, now 20-point favorites over the Browns, and then the Steelers and Bengals on Saturday night.
Yeah, so those two games quickly here. So this is the biggest point spread in a final regular season week in 50 years. Ravens Browns. Baltimore's a 20.5-point favorite. So, you know, just to boil it down, Ravens win and they are AFC North champions. The Browns are starting Bailey Zappi, who I refer to as Bailey Slappy because he's not very good. He's way better, though. Way better than Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's been starting for the Browns. Now, there's a chance that tomorrow there'll be some crazy winds in the forecast, which means both teams won't be able to throw, in which case the Ravens will win 34-0 because they'll be able to run and the Browns won't. But if we get to, like a regular game state here and the Browns can throw it a little bit, I am not making a case for the Browns to win. I am not even saying I will place this bet. Just that if I had to bet the game with Zappi starting, who's, again, he's bad, he's way better than DTR, I would take 20.5 with the Cleveland Browns. Wait to see if it goes up to 21, and maybe you get a full 3 touchdowns with Cleveland. It's week 18. It's pathetic.
I mean, I feel like it's almost principle, and I know that it's not guaranteed to work, but you're getting almost 3 friggin' touchdowns in the NFL. Go ahead.
Well, the Browns are the one team that everyone can point to and actually say they're tanking. Because Jameis is healthy enough to play, and he's the third quarterback. Like, they're tanking. Like, the Giants aren't tanking. Like other teams are not tanking. This team, the Titans, aren't tanking. The Jaguars aren't tanking. The Raiders aren't tanking. The Browns are tanking. So, like, the Browns are going to try and lose. Just how many points are they going to lose by? Which is why I stopped short of saying it's a definite bet for me. Just saying, if I had to bet the game, I would bet Cleveland. And then the Bengals and the Steelers tomorrow night. Now, T. Higgins and Chase Brown are both questionable on the injury report. Betting market says they're going to play. Cincinnati has gotten bet up over the course of the day today. Cincy is a 2.5-point road favorite right now in Pittsburgh. Total of the game is 48. Motivation here, Bengals win and they stay alive in the race for the final AFC wildcard spot heading into Sunday. The Steelers need to win this game. If Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh is the 5 seed. If they lose, they're the 6. 6 seed means you're a 7.5-point dog on wildcard weekend in Baltimore. 5 seed means you're a 1-point favorite on the road in Houston. So it's a huge game for both teams. Now, I can be way wrong here. I was wrong last week. I bet the Broncos. I lost in soul-crushing fashion in overtime against Cincinnati. I still think the Bengals stink. I think their defense is terrible. I like the Steelers to cover the spread. I think the Steelers are going to win the game, but I will always offer this caution. This is basically a playoff game, and it's basically a pick'em spread, and one team has Joe Burrow and the other has Russell Wilson. So I would understand people for liking the Bengals. I think the Bengals are bad. Outside of the quarterback, I'll take Pittsburgh to win the game.
See, I've always had a rough time, and you just hit a couple of things that you feel pretty good about here, and we'll see if they come through, but a week like this, like, is this just where degenerates go bonkers and make it worse? So you think that there's much more opportunity than trapdoors? Because I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell to make of the schedule.
Okay, so, you know, like, I'm going to say a lot of things right now that I'm going to be really confident in. It does not have to go like this. It doesn't. But, you know, these are, a lot of people will say, for instance, BT, that betting the NFL preseason. It's like, oh, well, call one of your degenerate, call 1-800-GET, whatever.
And by the way, I'm just saying that for effect.
You're not the only person that's... A lot of people... And I think it's, you know, without knowing kind of the information, I don't think it's an unfair thing to say.
Okay, go ahead.
A lot of people say it. I'm being like, honest. I think it's a fair comment. But, like, there's money to be made in the NFL preseason, and I think there's money to be made in Week 18 in the NFL. So, I filmed my BetMGM Board of Spreads videos today, and all of my picks were on games that aren't necessarily ones with huge playoff implications, because I think that there's valuable bets to be made. So if you'd like, we can roll through some of the games coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, sure, let's go.
All right, so let's do a couple games where these are, like, meaningless games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Colts-Jaguars. Indy's a 5-point home favorite. Total in the game is 44. If you, at one point in your life, played for the Indians...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Indianapolis Colts. Then you have come out at some point this week, on or off the record, and have said that the Colts are a dumpster fire organization. I have not seen a team get raked over the coals like this in quite some time in the NFL for the Colts after the loss last week and how poorly they played against the Giants. So I'm not saying Indy can't win by 10, just that, like, are we sure that this dead team walking should be favored by 5? Against Jacksonville.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, it's another dead team walking. I'll take the points with the Jaguars. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jaguars won. Okay, let's go to the Seahawks and the Rams in Los Angeles. Seattle's a 6.5-point road favorite because Sean McVay is resting Matthew Stafford and some other players in this game ahead of the playoffs. Last year, we saw the Rams rest starters in Week 18 with Carson Wentz. We'll talk about him in a second. And they won. They beat Sam Darnold and the 49ers. The Rams' backup quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo's a top 10 quarterback in the league, but he's also not like Bailey Zappi. So I get Jimmy Garoppolo and +6.5 at home against a team with nothing to play for. The bet can lose. I'll make it, though. I'll bet the Rams +6.5. How about Chiefs and Broncos? Now, Denver needs to win this game, like, to clinch the 7th and final playoff spot in the AFC, but, like, Denver doesn't have to win by 11 to cover the spread to make it. They can win by 1. Carson Wentz is starting for the Chiefs. Again, Carson Wentz is not a top 10 quarterback, but is he terrible? I don't think he is. And he has the best coach. He has Andy Reid. And you're getting 10.5 points. So if the Broncos win by 10, I still win my bet. I like that. I would take the Niners +4 with Josh Dobbs starting on the road in Arizona, where Dobbs is a competent option against a Cardinals team season over. Questions about Kyler Murray as a franchise quarterback. So, like, I actually think there are some good bets to be made in these games. I could lose all of them, but I feel good about clicking all the buttons prior to the games being played.
What about the locals? Some interesting thoughts as far as the bets there with the Giants, you know, playing the backup Eagles. Are the Giants tanking? Are they trying to win this game based off what we saw a week ago? Eagles -3 right now at home. And then we'll get to the Jets and Dolphins, which is an interesting game with playoff implications potentially. Where are you at with the Giants Eagles?
So Eagles right now are 2.5-point favorite. This keeps bouncing back and forth from 2.5 to 3. I think the Eagles backups are better than the Giants. So I'm not going to bet this game. I would only bet Philadelphia if I were to bet it, though. So I would not bet the Giants under any circumstances. Dolphins-Jets, you know, like, we will see, like, what the motivation is for Miami. We'll see what happens with Cincy on Saturday. So even if the Bengals win on Saturday, Miami can still make the playoffs with a win over the Jets and the Broncos losing to the Chiefs. But, you know, obviously, like, if Cincy loses, maybe this becomes, like, an even bigger spot for Miami here on the road at the Jets. Now, it was announced a little while ago. It looks extremely likely that Tyler Huntley will start this game, not Tua Tagovailoa. So Miami's backup will play. So my opinion in this game, and it runs counter to what a lot of, like, sharp people I deal with think. The Jets, like they've been a lot of this season, I think will be a sharp bet in this game. Like, I think the Jets may close a favorite in this game. I think that that may happen. I think the Jets will be a team that draws interest. I look at the Jets and I see dead team walking after what we saw last week. In Buffalo, and Tyler Huntley played really well for the Dolphins on the road in Cleveland. Make me bet the game. I'll actually take the Dolphins to beat the Jets and cover the spread on Sunday.
Last one, Nick. Best game of the week, potentially of the year. The Vikings in Detroit, Sunday Night Football for the number one seed and the bye. What do you like in that game?
So the point spread right now is 3. I think if the point spread's, the Lions favored by 3. If the point spread's 3, and I'll say this on my show on The Fan on Sunday. If it's three, I think Minnesota is a valuable bet at plus three. So I'll ask you guys this question, and I would urge everyone listening to ask yourself this question as well. Think about how, this is not even like a leading question, it's just the truth. Think about how bad the Lions' pass defense, like they probably can't win the Super Bowl. The pass defense is atrocious. What is the minimum number of points the Vikings are going to score? Like, what do you like? What would your answer to that question be on Sunday night?
Minimum. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you think high 20s the minimum?
Minimum. Okay. So now let's go to Lion, like that handicap, Lions offense versus Vikings defense, where Ben Johnson has largely had success going head-to-head with Brian Flores. Look no further than the game these two teams played earlier in the season in Minnesota, won by Detroit. Now, the Lions know, guys. They know. Like, Dan Campbell's basically come out and said it. Like, they're going to have to win high-scoring games. They can't win 20-17. Like, they will lose if they score 17 points. So we know that they're going to go for it on fourth downs. They're going to go for it on fourth and goal. They're going to try and put sevens up on the board. So on Sunday night, if the Vikings roll the if the Lions roll the dice and the decisions work out, like they go for it on fourth down, they get it, they go for it on fourth and goal, they score touchdowns, they will probably win the game. If those decisions don't work, then you can easily get into a spot where not only the Vikings win, but the Vikings could win by 10 and the game will go under the total because the Lions will be going all or nothing, 7 or nothing. And if it's nothing and that happens two or three times, Minnesota's going to win by 10 and the game's going to go under the total of 56. So it's difficult in that respect, like to know. It's basically the handicap of the game is, do the Lions convert the high leverage fourth downs that they go for? Those high leverage spots, which leads me to like one of two bets. Vikings plus three, or just bet the Vikings to go over their team total. Minnesota to score a lot of points in the game, and then not handicap what Detroit does, because you're handicapping a bunch of fourth down decisions. That's the way I handicap it going into Sunday night.
Feels like there's not as much drama as we would like in this final week, but certainly will be on Sunday night. Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Looking forward to it. Wishing everybody Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck and a very happy new year.
That was the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Now that you got that info.
That was a lot of info. I was taking some notes. Then I'm going to go the other way. Nick had a rough week last week. I got to go the other way with bad Nick.
Be careful. He's due for a big bounce back. We'll get to our perfect parlay pick segment final week here, as this will now determine who this year, last year was BT as Goldust, me as Doink the Clown, who this year will be dressing up. We know Hoff is going to be a member. Hoff right now is in last place.
Not 100%.
No, 100% he is. He cannot catch me. He's got, because I have 270, he's got 145.
Ah.
You're 245, so he technically could still come in second, but he's been eliminated. He will be dressing
He's
as,
already a stamped loser. Yeah. What you're saying. Yeah, gotcha.
Hoff is already stamped as he will be
he's
in a
the
costume.
First loser.
So it's which one of us is going to join him this year in that costume. We'll decide that this week 18. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your call as well. 888-808-1019.
Yeah, the bad news for me is that the last 2 weeks I was not here giving the picks. The good news is I'm back.
Hey, this is radio station WSKEE. We're taking calls on the wish line, making your wacky wishes come true.
Hello?
BT and Sal back on The Fan. The number to call 888-808-1019. We'll have our pick segment coming up at 1:20. We got a big Nick game tonight. I'll be into the football tomorrow, BT. Looking forward to it. Maybe not the Ravens and Browns, although if you place a bet on it, whatever. So, Saturday night game will be fun, and then, of course, week 18. But you got a big basketball game tonight. This is a must-watch. I know the regular season NBA has taken a little bit of a hit here. You know, there's the product's been questioned. The player's not playing all the time. But Knicks, Thunder, that's almost as good as a matchup it gets in the NBA right now.
I'm not sure it could get better because the Knicks have won 9 straight right now. The Thunder have won 14 straight. They're 28-5, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are the Knicks are really starting to roll and starting to flex through some very weak competition, to be fair. But, you know, after some early bumps that you and I talked about, it was obviously early in the football season, so we didn't dive too deeply into the early games that the Knicks had. But they have just cranked it up. Now, coinciding with weaker teams, but, you know, Mikal Bridges has rectified whatever issues he had early on big time. He had a great December. You know, and I want to see if Brunson plays tonight. I want to see if McBride plays tonight because Gilgeous Alexander is an absolute handful. You know, and you got to get the big man healthy eventually with Mitchell Robinson. But, dude, I mean, it's crazy watching. I know it's a very different NBA. So any stat that you throw out there, you've got to be kind of careful. But, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is, first of all, he's just a little different than Ewing, but he's doing things that Ewing didn't do. Now, before everybody jumps on me, the one thing that Patrick did that Carl never proved, even in Minnesota, is that he was able to elevate a moribund team like Patrick did. Because Carl Anthony Towns got to the Western Conference Finals a year ago, didn't play well. But he got there once Anthony Edwards started to really explode as a player, and Patrick never had anybody remotely like Edwards, as his older Knicks fans know. So it's not a Ewing to Towns comparison necessarily, but that's how good Carl Anthony Towns has been.
Yeah, I mean, I said this a while ago, BT, just watching Carl Anthony Towns, that he's the best big man the Knicks have ever had. And I'm not trying to disrespect Ewing, who I love, but offensively, there's no question. Like, it's just it's a different world, the way that the sport has gone, the way that the game is played today versus with Ewing. And I'm not trying to knock Ewing at all, but Carl Anthony Towns scores with ease every night. He's got a smooth shot from anywhere on the floor. He can get to the rim. He scores the basketball with ease, much better than almost any Nick period that I've ever seen, but certainly for a big man.
He does. Like, Patrick had a labor. You know, Patrick's easy buckets. And I don't mean when it was young, and Mark Jackson was throwing out the oops. Those were easy for Pat, because he was still young and bouncy a couple of years out of Georgetown. But as Patrick got older, pretty much where Carl Anthony Towns is age-wise now, 29, 30, you know, Patrick had a grind and bump in the post when he started getting guys like Shaq and David Robinson and some of those better, you know, younger players that were entering the NBA. And Patrick had to kind of work to get to that baseline spot or that jump shot like that he was obviously great at. But, yeah, it never looked easy with Pat. Now, it never looked easy because the ball movement was very different, and Carl Anthony Towns is a beast, but he gets wide open shots. Yeah. He can shoot over people. He's very adept at going outside, 40%. It's just an interesting thing to think about. Yeah. We'll never know the answer. But, like, if Patrick Ewing was 13 years old now with that live, bouncy, young body that he had as a kid, you tell me Patrick Ewing's not shooting threes? Of course he's shooting threes.
Probably.
Still, it doesn't matter.
Feel as smooth, maybe, as Carl Anthony Towns. Maybe he's a different player. I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe. And by the way, Ewing was a much better, tougher defender.
No question.
Yeah, so nobody, and we shouldn't even compare the two. I'm just saying, when you watch Carl Anthony Towns play, we've never seen anything like that as Knicks fans. He is that unique of a scorer at his size, where he could score the basketball with these. And this team, it's the greatest offensive team that the Knicks have ever had.
Like, I can't wait to watch the game. Yeah. So let's say the Knicks, who have played very well, the Thunder did play last night, so they should have slightly heavy legs.
Built-in excuse for when the Knicks beat them already. Yeah, but you mentioned, the best record in the West, certainly at 28-5, just a game off the pace of the Cavs. You mentioned the winning streak here. This is a good regular season barometer for the Knicks to see where they're at with their win streak, where they've, you know, trying to come together as a group here. This is a good barometer for them tonight.
What if they don't play well?
I'm not going to go nuts either.
Close loss. What if they lose by 17? Brunson's out there. They just play terribly. I bet you that's going to reshape what some people think. It might not be the right thing to do.
I wouldn't overreact either way, but I do think a loss could be more telling than a win. Like, if they beat him, it doesn't mean, oh, championship, here we come.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lost this game after blowing the majority of opponents out that they've been facing, you would think, hey, you know what? I don't know if this style is going to work against the better teams in the league. We've seen them get smoked by the Celtics. They got beat by the Cavs, and now it would be another loss to the Thunder. Those are the three best teams in the league outside of the Knicks.
Yeah, and the good thing is, like, even if they lose, I don't necessarily expect them to win. Of course, they could. But, like, even if they were to lose tonight, then they play Chicago, then they play Orlando, then they play Toronto. Like, the schedule's so... And then you have Oklahoma City again next Friday, a week from tonight at the Garden, which is going to be great. I mean, imagine, like, if the Knicks were to win tonight. Let's just say Knicks win tonight, and then they handle business in the next couple, and suddenly they've got, you know, 9, 10, and suddenly they've got, like, a 12 or 13-game win streak, and then the Thunder come and pissed off next Friday. I know we're pushing
this forward,
but they come and pissed off next Friday to get a little revenge. Like, it's one of the few meaningful regular season games that I said to Sal. I said, basically, you know, it varies for the team, and it varies based on the expectations, but you could generally get a good sense of what you have as an observer of a specific NBA team based on 7 or 8 games that you can circle over the course of a season, and you kind of know what you have, and tonight's one of them.
Yeah,
to an extent, without going nuts, tonight's one of them.
It's rare for me in the regular season to make it a point to, like, obviously you watch the games, but I'm talking about to go home and be excited to watch a game. that's this one tonight for this Knicks team to see what they could do against the Thunder. I felt like this earlier in the year, obviously the Celtics opening night, but even the Sixers matchup or the game against the Magic, because that was supposed to be, the Magic are a good defensive team. Let's see how they go up against the Knicks, and the Knicks were able to handle them. So this will be one of those, you circle it on the schedule, go home and watch that, not to mention your boy Hartenstein.
I want to see Hartenstein. Yeah. I miss him. Over under right now, if I said, all right, Sal, here we are, early January, Knicks already have 20, what are they? How many wins are they? Knicks are 24-10. So 24 wins out of 34 games, 34 times. All right, so we're not quite halfway. Over under 51.5 wins.
Yeah, I'm going over.
Me too.
I think we did this earlier, and I was saying over 50.
Yeah, but I want to see where we are now.
Would you go 55? Again, I don't know the exact math.
Actually, I might.
I think so, too, at this point.
I might.
We'll see what happens after a loss tonight. Maybe change things. Yeah. But.
Or a win, maybe at 60.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
No, you know us. We don't overreact anything. Right.
We won't overreact either way.
Always
win a championship. All right, BT and Sal on the field. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.